As you can see, I'm not wearing my VBS shirt because earlier today, John Locke looked at me and said, you know, with this orange shirt and your bald head, people are going to be saying, nope, not looking up here. So no shirt for me. No shirt for me. And for those of you who are visiting, let me just say, my name is Andy Howard. And so I just want to point that out to you so there's no mistake. And Chuck, we do appreciate your giving us the announcements this morning. Thank you. Very, very, very much. Well, as we gather today, we are going to look at not Psalm 139, where I'm leaving that for Andy, but we will look at Psalm 46, verses 1 through verse 11. And as we do so, we pray that God's Word will speak to us, that the Spirit of God will encircle us and lead us and guide us as we look into His Word today. One of the things that stands out so very, very clearly in my own mind is something that you're about to see on video. And it was called Terrible Tuesday, April the 10th, 1979. And so I invite you to watch. And in the group of cars that you saw at the very ending there, somewhere along those cars, I was there. And this was an experience that I will never forget. And if any of you who know me very well, which several of you do, you know that I am very weather leery, very weather conscious, and can tell you just about anything you want to know about our local weather at any time. I'm not too good at predicting, because I keep telling Chris and Andy over the last couple of winters, this is going to be the hardest winter for Dallas that we have seen in years, and it hadn't turned out. But nonetheless, I continue to be very weather conscious. One of the things that stands out about this storm so very clearly with me is the fact that there was a person on the radio, KWFT radio, 620 on the AM dial, which is no longer now in existence. And as I tuned in and listened to this radio announcer, as I got closer into Wichita Falls, this announcer would say very clearly and distinctly, this tornado is on the ground, and you need to be prepared. And just as I was about to come in to Wichita Falls, and it was as dark as night, as I was entering the city, all of a sudden the highway patrols stopped all the vehicles, kept you from going across those big viaducts there, going into Wichita Falls on 287 and some other connecting freeways and highways there. And so I obediently stopped, and we were told to get out of our cars, get into the ditch there, and cover our heads. One of the last things I remember seeing as I got into that ditch was looking up and seeing a Dairy Queen that was sitting maybe not even a half a mile from me. And as we covered our heads, the noise that you heard in this video was just tremendously loud. It was horrible. And so I had my head covered. I was prepared as I could be. But I remembered the thing that the radio announcer said as I was about to get out of the car. And you've heard this time and time again. This is an actual emergency. Tune your radios to 99.9 FM for further instructions and warnings. This station is now going off the air. Now, we've heard that. We've seen it. Most of us have grown up listening to it. But then, until you're in that actual situation and timing, you never really come to understand what that is really about. I was to find out later that the very voice I was listening to on that radio that day of April the 10th was killed as that tornado slammed into that CBS affiliate building. You know, we put our trust sometimes in people. We put our trust often in our riches and in our bank accounts. We put our trust in various and sundry things of life. But may I remind you, as fellow believers in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that God says to us this morning that He is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. And so we'll look at Psalm 46, 1 through 11 today. I would point out to you, as most people recognize, that there is a hymn in our hymnal, number 26, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And the hymn, written by Martin Luther, uses the verse, "The Lord Almighty is with us, the God is of Jacob is our fortress." And that hymn so very clearly says, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Most people recognize this psalm as the basis for this particular hymn. And the historical background this morning that I'm going to be sharing with you is probably God's deliverance of Jerusalem from the Assyrians in the time of King Hezekiah. You can read more about this in 2 Kings 18 and 19. King Hezekiah was a poet. Now, it's not the kind of poet that we like to listen to the limericks of, but he was a poet nonetheless. And he may have written not only this Psalm 46, but more than likely Psalm 47 and 48 as well, which probably came out of the same historical context to celebrate God's victory over the enemy. So, this emphasis in this psalm is on the presence of the Lord with his people, very clearly. And the difference it makes when we understand and know that God is with us, whatever may take place, whatever happens, that God is there with us. Whatever difficulties of life we face, whatever issues of life we're going through, whatever problems we're having, that God is with us. And that's a trust that we can count on when our faith and our confidence is in our Lord. The psalm focuses on this and in his people trusting him. So I invite you to read along with me at Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. Now, the word translated here, refuge, in verse 1 means a shelter, a rock of refuge. And both words declare to us very clearly that God is dependable and he's a dependable refuge for his people at any time and any place that we are. When everything around us seems to be falling apart, that God is with us. And my friends, that's so very clear. You know, the people in that video you just watched, thousands of people were affected by that storm. And I can even tell you something that I don't even like to talk about or even mention. There were 11 people who could never be accounted for because their bodies were literally torn apart. They might find a finger here, or a hand there, or a foot there. But 11 out of about 50 that they could never account for because of this storm. So when everything around seems to be falling apart in our lives, whatever storm we might be going through, God says to us very clearly, I am your God. God is our tower of strength. And I hope you see that this morning in this verse. But let me point out to you that he doesn't protect us, my friends, just to pamper us. Rather, he shelters us so that we can grow and strengthen in our faith. He strengthens us so that we can go back into life and face the duties and the challenges of life that we are facing each and every day. And I want to point out that both concepts are found in here about the crisis. In times of crisis, the Jewish leaders, you know, were prone to go back to Egypt and say, well, how can you help us? What can you do for us? When they should have turned to the Lord their God and trusted Him. He is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. Now, the word trouble there describes people in tight places. People in tight places, in a corner, and unable to get out. And when this happens, the admonition is so very clear to us, don't be afraid. Now, let me point out something to you here. When the Assyrians, the officials, threatened Jerusalem, Isaiah told the king, he said, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid because of the words that you have heard. 2 Kings 19 and verse 6. He said, in other words, he is saying and reminding the people of God here that the Lord is with them, the Lord is in control, and whatever may happen, I am with you. But all things are in the control of our sovereign God. In fact, the word the waters in verse 3 here may also symbolize the unrest of nations mentioned in verse 6. So circumstances may change, and God's covenant, though, with His people will never change. God is going to be with us all the time. He is our high tower and our refuge in the uncertainties of life. Now, having said all this, let me just tell you very quickly here, very clearly, that, you know, it doesn't matter what you may be going through today. You may be dealing with issues that none of the rest of us know about. You may be dealing with issues of unemployment. You may be dealing with financial issues. You may be having issues in your marriage. You may be having issues in the way your children are acting and behaving at home. You may be having issues with the way your children that have grown up are going and living their lives now. It does not matter, my friends, because the Scripture says here very clearly that God is our tower of strength. My friends, trust Him. Trust the Lord to see you through the anxieties, the storms of life, whatever they might be. But now, secondly, let's look at verses 4 through 7. And this is a very interesting portion of the text. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. The scene shifts here to the city of Jerusalem. Now, you could really take this a lot further, and I actually was going to do this week and going more prophetic in some of the teaching with this, but then I decided not to because Dr. Mark's boss, Dr. Mark Bailey, had written some things about Psalm 46, and as I read some of those, it was almost like he was telling me, hey, don't go with all that stuff. Don't go with all that prophetic thing way down the line. Just tell the people of God what the Scripture is saying here for them right now. So I took Dr. Marks Bailey. I took his advice. And here you go. The scene has changed entirely to Jerusalem, and where the people are confined because of the Assyrian army right here that has camped around them. The city is encamped by the Assyrians. Water was as you well know, a precious commodity in Palestine and especially in Jerusalem. And did you know that Jerusalem was one of the few cities that was not built on a river at all? It wasn't built on a river. And so they just couldn't go to the river and get water. But something very interesting happened here. And wisely, Hezekiah had built an underground water system that connected the spring of Gihon in Kidron with the pool of Siloam there in the city of Jerusalem, within that city. So water was available to them. They were prepared. They were ready. But the psalmist knew what God was saying to them and was clearly getting across to them, and that was the fact that God was their river and provided them with the water of life that they needed. And I hope you'll see that in this text. You know, we as time to time need to understand that in the blessings of God, God is always providing us. God provides us with the nourishment we need. God provides us with that spiritual water we need. You remember Jesus talking about the water bubbling over in the life of the woman at the well. Well, God does everything like that just with us. God blesses us in many ways. God was blessing the children in the city of Jerusalem that way. Now, in the days of King Ahaz, Isaiah compared an Assyrian invasion to an overflowing river. But then he reminded the Jews in the Word of God that their God was like a quiet river, Shiloh, and would bring them peace. You see, God's people have always depended, my friends. God's people have always depended on the hidden spiritual resources that come from God alone. It doesn't matter what you might be going through. Whenever you turn to God, God has those resources for you. And whenever Israel turned to a pagan nation for help, they ended up in worse trouble. Jerusalem was indeed that holy city set apart by God, and His sanctuary was there. But these things were no guarantee of victory. There was no guarantee of victory. You know, when I look at that and I think about it, let me just be very honest with you. You know, you may be a church member this morning, but you have no guarantee of victory in God just because you're a church member. And furthermore, you may work very effectively in teaching the Word of God, but you have no guarantee from God because of that. You see, God provides what He provides for His people. And in this holy city set apart by God and His sanctuary there, the people were not guaranteed a victory. Not in the least. The king and the people needed to turn to the Lord. They needed to turn to God with confession and faith. And He would hear them. And He would save them. And this is what they did. You see, God did help Jerusalem when the morning dawned. And I wanted you to look at that very carefully at verse 5. When it says, right early in the morning, or another way of putting it, from the very break of day, God will protect it. And you know what happened? The angel of the Lord went out early that morning, and the angel killed those 185,000 Assyrians that were camped around the city of Jerusalem, that were ready to rush in and shed blood and conquer the city and destroy all of the things of God. But God protected them because they trusted God and they confessed their need for the Lord's help. And they acknowledge their sins. I think that's very important for us to remember. All he had to do, Jehovah God, was to speak the word, verse 6 says. And as he spoke the word, the enemy was defeated. That's why, my friends, he is the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies of heaven and earth. And this name for God is found first and foremost in Scripture, beginning right there in 1 Samuel. And the youth Sunday school class, we read and studied that this morning when Hannah asked God to give her a son. You see, the commander of the armies of the Lord is always with us, for he is Emmanuel. God with us. God's name be praised. Emmanuel, God with us. And no matter what the circumstances, we may drink at the river of life, of joy and blessing, and find the peace that we need from God, my friends, because indeed, very clearly, as the word tells us here, God is our river of joy. Have you experienced that river of joy in your own life today? Have you had and heard and understood the wonderful gospel that Jesus died for your sins, that he was buried, that he arose again? Then, my friends, you understand and know, if you have believed, what that river of life is all about. But one more point in closing I want to bring in. God is our God. He will be glorified. And look at verses 8 through 11. And notice what it says here. Come, see the works of the Lord who brings devastation on earth. Now this is where you really kind of get into those prophetic future event things here. He makes war cease throughout the earth. He shatters bows and cuts spears to pieces. He burns up the chariots. And then he says, stop your fighting and know that I am God, exalted among all the nations, exalted on the earth. And notice verse 11, Yahweh of hosts is with us. Yahweh of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. My friends, God is sovereign over nations and nature. And that is very clear and very understandable. And when you get into 8 through 11 of the verses here, the third scene is on the field surrounding the city of Jerusalem, where the Assyrian soldiers are lying dead out there all around the city, and their weapons and equipment are scattered and they're broken. There had been no battle at all. Not, if I may put it this way, not one gun went off. No guns back then anyway, but not one gun went off. It wasn't the shot heard around the world. Nothing like that. There had been no battle. But the angel of the Lord left this evidence, my friends, behind to encourage the faith of the people. And notice what he says. Come and see the amazing things, the desolations the Lord has made. The Lord defeated and the Lord disarmed his enemies and destroyed their weapons, and they could attack no more. Now that kind of ends the story there in a way, but not really. Because I want you to notice these words. be still, when it says be still and know that I am God, be still literally means take your hands off and relax. Take your hands off and relax. You know, we like to be hands-on people and manage our own lives. Those of you that are raising children, you know that at a certain point in time, those children come to the place that they say, I can do this. I don't need your help with this. I can do this. The older they get, they keep saying that and keep telling you that. And then one day, they finally wake up and come back and say, well, Mom and Dad, I really couldn't do that, and I do need your help. But during this time period, they're saying, hey, I can do it on my own. You see, we're kind of people like that. We like to be hands-on people, and we like to manage our own lives. But you know what? God is our God. And I point out to you very clearly here, and we are but His servants. And because Hezekiah and his leaders allowed God to be God, and I hope you see this, Hezekiah allowed God to be God, he delivered them from their enemies. And that, my friends, was the way that Hezekiah had prayed there in 2 Kings 19 and 19. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. The Lord, you'll recall, calls himself the God of Jacob. And we remember how often Jacob got into trouble. He did it a lot. He did it a lot. In fact, every time he got his hands on circumstances and tried to play God, well, he was in trouble. But nonetheless, God of Jacob, there is a time, my friends, to obey God. There is a time to act. But until then, we had better take our hands off our own lives. We had better quit running our own lives and deciding what's best for our own lives. And instead saying, Lord, here I am, use me. Here I am, Lord, I surrender. Here I am, God, I need your help. You see, there is a time to obey and a time to act. But my friends, we had better take our hands off and allow God to move and to work in His own time and in His own way. And as we do that, if we seize His promises by faith with both hands, we will not be at all disappointed, not one bit. We won't be able to meddle into our lives or the lives of others. We will simply find the blessing of God because we've trusted the Lord with our whole hearts. I want to point out to you something that I mentioned earlier in this sermon this morning. God allows us to get in tight places. And again, I would point out the reason God allows us to get into tight places is so our faith will grow and He will be exalted. When I showed you the video about the storm, that was a tight place. And that was a very scary place. But let me tell you very clearly, in my own mind and heart, it was a very changing experience for me in saying, okay, Lord, I'm taking my hands off my life. You come, you take control. Well, I'm not saying I wasn't a Christian. I'm just saying there was that time and that place where I had to say, Lord, it's up to you now. I give everything over to you. You know, people boast of the great things they have done and the and never give God, I guess, the credit for any of it. We see that all the time. Nor not even the strength and the breath that we have from God. But yet, God gives them freely. But I believe that will change when we begin to look at God and say that the lofty looks of man shall be humbled, the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord shall be exalted in that day. So I ask you this morning, where do you find your comfort today? Where do you find the comfort for your soul? Where are you looking for that comfort? May we find, my brethren and friends, that Jesus is the only way. He is indeed the way, the truth, and the life. And He invites all to come unto Him and trust Him. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was buried and He arose from that grave. And if you will place your faith and your confidence in our Lord, not only will He save you, not only will He cleanse you, but He will give you direction and guidance as you trust Him each and every day with your whole heart. Remember these very clear words here. God is our tower of strength. God is our river of joy. And God is our God. May we glorify Him. Let's pray together now. Heavenly Father, we just thank You so very much for Your love for us. Now, we just pray, Lord, that You would speak to us. And if we haven't surrendered ourselves completely, Lord, if we haven't taken our hands off our own lives, then Lord, help us to do that today. Help us to give ourselves completely over to You. That in everything we say and we do, that You would be glorified and honored. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.